was a very, very open interpretation of the scriptures. She's very bold to present that. There may be people here who are a little uncomfortable with God saying that all people belong to him. But that's the question that I would like to think with you about. The people of Israel or this congregation, we make that little slide. There's a lot of steps in there. You can talk, if it bothers you, please talk to me about it. But you, as the people of God, how or are you distinct, different from everyone else on earth? How can it be that this congregation, which is just ordinary people, I mean, you're extraordinary, but everybody's just a person. How can it be that we are different from all other people on earth? And what does that mean for us? And you're not going to find anything special or different that you didn't already know, but I just want to think about that this morning with you. Let's just say a prayer. Heavenly Father, this is a faithful congregation, and they gather to pray and read the scriptures and read spiritual books. They gather in for their personal events. This is a congregation that pays attention to each other and worships together. They are in a place where they have lost a long-term pastor who was a loving and kind and faithful and strong leader for them. We know that you are bringing the person of your choice, and that this person will be the one who will continue on their own terms, continue the ministry that has been here already. This tree is going to continue to grow in the direction that it's going. They are grieving the loss of their pastor and feeling perhaps a bit adrift. We pray in the name of Jesus that you will help them not to rush out of this time of uncertainty, but they will feel confident enough to be uncertain, and that this would be a very fruitful time for this congregation. There are seeds planted in this congregation that have not yet sprouted. There are others who are not related that have sprouted that just drift away, and the main trunk of the tree, Lord, we believe is healthy and strong. Lord, we pray that as we consider this morning the scripture from Exodus, that you will, each one of us will have a glimpse of your purposes for us as an individual and as a congregation. Thank you for this faithful congregation. We honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. The time in the desert for the Israelites was a time in between when they became aware of themselves as God's people, but they did not yet arrive in the promised land. It was a time when they learned who they were, and they learned to listen to the words of God. If you read the text this morning, and I believe you have it in front of you don't even have to open your Bible, you just have the text in front of you. You will see as you read that the same kind of request comes up several times. I do not consider it an academic thing to read the scripture with your whole heart and mind. There are many levels to understanding Scripture. I believe it is not a betrayal of the mystical sense of Scripture to look at it in practical ways. For example, for a very simple example that I've probably even used here, even though I've only been here 6 weeks. When you say the Lord's Prayer and you ask that the daily bread be provided, almost 100% of white Americans think that it is in the singular sense. Give me my daily bread. That's how we read it. But almost 100% of Asians, possibly Africans, read it. Give us our daily bread. A little simple thing like that, where your mind is already set on what you're thinking, and you don't even notice the words that are before you in Scripture. Now, in some religions, the holy book is very mystical and came down from heaven in a mystical way. And to read it with those kinds of grammar, and I don't mean just grammar for grammar's sake, but grammar to understand. Is this singular? Is this plural? Is this for me? Is this talking about this other person? Is a sacrilege. And there are Christians who believe that, but I don't believe so. And if you believe that, I hope that you will be able to somehow find a way to get through this with the Lord. But if you read this scripture, this is a good example where you can see that different traditions of this story have been placed together. Now, we're not going to do an academic study of this scripture, but you will see that Moses and God have sort of the same conversation several times. And I ask you in your biblical reading to keep those kinds of common sense things open in your mind. You get to heaven and God says to you, well, it was in the scripture. You say, oh, I was just sort of mystically freebasing on it. I never really noticed what it said. So just pay attention. So we see here that the same story has been preserved in several traditions. So it comes out in different ways. So just trust the scripture. Like they say, the best way to defend a lion is to open up the cage. So the best way to defend the Bible is not to, oh, I'm going to stand in front and make sure nobody gets, just let the Bible out. The Bible is powerful. Don't worry. You're not going to break it. It is so powerful and so effective. Just let it out. Let it out. And so here we see that there are several stories here. But the main point here is that Moses wants to be sure that God will go with them. And this phrase in verse 16, in this way we shall be distinct, I and your people, from every people on the face of the earth. Is this a proper desire? Moses wants his people to be set out and apart from everyone else. And he wants to, the other part we can, he wants to see God's glory. Are you going to come with us? Are you going to, I want to see your face. You've heard the old story, you know, the Catholic League is playing basketball and they're praying for their team. And then the kid says, you know, the kids notice, the kid says, but we're all Catholics. How can we pray for our team when the other team is also a Catholic team? And they say, okay, kid, don't think about it. You know, don't worry about that. We don't have an answer for that kind of thing. We want our team to be distinct from every other team on earth. Yesterday, I was allowed to be in a group where you actually have to read the book and be a member. You can't just gawk at them. But I was allowed to be an observer of one of these, you know, the books that y'all read. If you haven't read the books that y'all read, you talk to me and I'll get you started from the first one, right? But as far as I can understand, the books that y'all read, the foundational principle
okay.
of these
I don't know if
discipline,
non-discipline.
Spiritual
yeah,
discipline.
Yeah, everybody's still in our, I mean,
the kingdom
classroom.
Of God is not something. If I can just hold on
yes.
until I die, then I'm going to be saved. You know, just hold on. It's not like that. But the kingdom of God starts now, and it starts in you, in your heart. And yesterday I heard a phrase, salvation is not to have your sins forgiven, but to learn how not to sin. So I'm going to, if we were universalists, we would say, you're all saved, you just have to act like it. You have to learn how to become a person whose heart is in tune with the Lord Jesus Christ. We do believe in salvation. We do believe you have to cooperate with God's plan for you. And this is really the thread that I want to pull out of this ball of yarn. Like, you know, when you, something gets tangled and you're just like, where do I start getting this tangle out? How can we be different from every other, every other people on earth if God created all of us and loves all of us? To be different from other people means to be aware of God's forgiveness and salvation and to allow your heart to be changed into the likeness of Christ while you're still here on earth. And that makes you different. That I believe. It's a community based on living out the word of God, not just saying it, but to actually live it out. And that's what makes you different from other people. Not that you started out special or that God chose you and not them. In Revelation, at the end, there's a picture of the most beautiful picture of a clear, sparkling river that runs along with the 12 trees, and they bear fruit for the healing of the nations. Just a beautiful. The hard part is that the kingdom of heaven is a square. It's like an apartment block. What? You know, well, anyway, that's what it is. It's sparkling, and it has jewels, and it's transparent. We start in a garden, and we end in some kind of a city in Revelation. But in Revelation, that city, it has gates, but they're never closed. And I think that that's the picture I want to leave you with this morning. There are gates
in the sky
in the city of God, and it says in the last chapter of the New Testament that those people who are evil because of dogs, that they're evil, cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. But the gates are open. There's no night and day. There's no sorrow. We're at peace with one another. The trees would indicate that there's still some kind of healing going on. We only know what we read. But there are gates around the city of God, but the boundaries around the city of God, but the gates are open. And so this morning, as we think about Moses praying, I want to know that these people are different from every other people on the earth. I believe that there are boundaries around the community of Christ Church, Christ Community Church. I believe that the gates are open so that whosoever will come in and join you in salvation, which is experiencing the presence and the changing power of the Holy Spirit in your life now. Amen.
I don't know what these things.